clear. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This. It's truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacity stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What?
What the hell is a gigawatt?
How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, and we're live on the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one but three separate chat rooms. Woohoo! I like it when I say that. Anyway, before I get into the madness of Mad Science Show, I posted a little deal in there. It says flogging a dead horse. I can't even say it. Beating a dead horse or beating a dead dog in some parts of I can't even pronounce that either way. Forget it. So anyway, it's kind of like beating a dead horse. It's kind of like beating a dead dog. Ain't gonna make no sense. You can't get the dog or the horse to do any work as long as you're gonna. They're already dead anyway. So basically, it all comes down to a particular endeavor is a waste of time as the outcome is already decided. Now, what the heck do I mean by that? Well, I'm just kind of talking about some of the craziness that goes on out there in this world when you try to, help people basically fix the problems that they say we got going on. It seems like they want to fight even harder for you. See, I personally, and Two Dog's on here with me as well. Say hi, Two Dog.
Oh, CO, everybody. Hello.
Yeah.
Nice to be here today.
So I'm thinking, the both of us, we probably know what it's like to be cold, or we know what it's like to be miserably hot, and we know what it's like to be hungry and even homeless. You know, we've been down a few roads in our life, we've learned a few things, and so with the knowledge that we've gathered, we try to gather other like-minded people who want to try to resolve the issues of the world and, ensure that other people don't have to travel that road in the future. So I think that's one of the things that really makes me mad about science. Modern day science, as far as I'm concerned, has dropped the ball. I posted a link down inside the chat room of a something that, heck, I didn't even know they had these on the market, because apparently they didn't really take off as far as popularity. But nonetheless, it was there, and after looking into it yet even more, you find out that it's been there since way back in the 1800s and early 1800s and such. And the link I'm talking about, I posted a video about induction lighting. And essentially, a long time ago when we were doing the Mad Science Show and we were talking about Slayer exciters and Tesla coils and stuff, we were saying that you could literally build a light bulb that will last forever. As long as those fluorescent bulbs never lose their vacuum, you can keep those things lit up years and years down the line. And then if you really want to ensure that it never breaks down, you could encase it with like clear acrylic resin. They got some resins now that you could put these things in there and they're crystal clear. And you could use it for a ball bat and it'd still keep on working. So the capability of actually producing a lighting source for a house that would never ever go bad. The worst case scenario, you gotta change the circuitry if the circuit board fails or whatever. And I even believe that it's possible to literally build the perfect circuit that's not going to go bad as well. Because, as everything else, heat usually does the damage and tears things up. And also, Stephen Gibbons posted, first he posted a response to something I said down in there where, let me see if I can scroll back up because we were kind of talking there a lot. Let's see, where's it at? Maybe I missed it. I'm still looking. Oh, okay, there it is. I thought. Yeah, well, anyway, he posted a picture, and in this picture it says, "Insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result." And that's pretty much what I've been doing here at the Mad Science Show. I've been beating a dead horse, or flogging a dead horse or whatever, so to speak. You ain't gonna get that horse to giddy up and go if he's already dead. And if somebody's already got their mind up that something ain't possible, then they're not gonna want to try to step outside the box and put the effort towards making things a reality. We're told that our climate is changing. We're told that we got global warming / climate disruption and whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. See, as a child, I was taught some things in basic science and, was able to test things and so on down the line. And as an adult, I started hearing things contradicting the things that I was told in school. So if you're educated one way and then told something completely different, I believe in my mind, you have every right in the world to question what you've been asked. What do you think, Two Dog? If somebody teaches you one thing and then turns around and tries to tell you something totally contradicting, doesn't that give you the right to question their science?
Well, you know, to be honest, you know, Shaziz, I've done that pretty much all my life. I mean, we have been told what we are to do, and, you know, our ways of thinking was totally different. So, yeah, you know, we have a right to question everything. If you don't question, you know, even the dumbest question needs to be asked.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
somebody once said
there's not a dumb question out there.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Somebody once said there ain't no such thing as a stupid question, because if you don't know, you have to ask in order to find out. You know? But the thing is...
Well, you know...
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, real quick, you know, with you doing the way you are with science, okay, and the way I am with the peace movement that I've been asking for 54 years around the world, we continue to do it because this is what we believe in. Same deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that at all. I mean, I couldn't agree more on that. That's the reason why I keep doing what I'm doing, but nonetheless, it still really gets frustrating to know that there are possibilities to resolve, you know, starvation. That's the biggest one of my issues right there, because of, you know, my upbringing and where I came from and the things I saw through my life. I don't think anybody in this world should have to go without food, especially when this earth has given us such vast resources. And, you know, there's tons and tons of land that's locked up that could be used to grow food to, you know, feed the hungry. And yet, you know, you just can't get it resolved. Two-Dog, I'm 52 years old, and I can remember when I was a child seeing commercials about children in the world starving to death. And I'm thinking, all right, if we're going, if we're really people, if we really care, then why is this still going on? You see what I mean?
Well, you know, the thing about it is this: I'm 58 years old right now, and I remember as a child watching these children go hungry and things like that. And to be honest, brother, you know, we're the richest country in the world, supposedly, as far as America is concerned. And if we can't help our relations, what are we doing? We're going to let children die? That don't make sense.
No, it don't. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating as all get out. You know, and you could go the same route for homelessness. You could go the same route for wars and all the craziness, you know, all the things that the average Joe don't like. You know, we don't like to see people do without. We don't like to see, you know, people sick and you know, suffering and all that. And so I keep shouting and you keep shouting it, you know, about peace and knowledge and stuff and trying to get everybody motivated to come to the table and start resolving issues. You know, to some extent, it's happening. You're doing it. I'm doing it. We're out there. We're getting in our little groups and stuff like that. But, you know, it just seems to me that this should be more of a priority to the world than it is. You know, they say that our planet's going to be terrible because of global warming. You know, whatever, you know. But if that's the case, if it's honestly the case that we're in jeopardy of mankind falling, you would think that would get everybody motivated to using all these clean, alternative, renewable energy sources that, as far as I'm concerned, they've been around since Tesla and before. I mean, look at this this doggone induction lighting system. This has been around since the 1800s. Do you realize how many years ago the 1800s was? That's a long time.
Yeah, quite a while back.
Yeah, and so that's some pretty high-tech technology that, if properly utilized, could, you know, at the very least, reduce carbon footprints that they're worried about all over the planet. You know, you could use a lighting source that would be so incredibly super efficient, and we even, you know, now we have modern-day LEDs, and I think the LED system's kind of worn out over the other one because of the fact that those old fluorescent bulbs had a bit of mercury in them. And LEDs seem to be like they're cheaper or easier to make, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But, you know, nonetheless, that technology just doesn't extend to just lighting alone. plasma technology could have replaced the nuclear power plants years ago. Because when you energize that gas into the fourth state of matter, you get light. And according to science, science says light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. And so all we're essentially doing with the doggone nuclear reactors are boiling water. We're still boiling water, too, dog.
But, you know, the thing about it, in a lot of ways also, though, as far as heating your house, okay, you have solar power, you know, that we get from the father-son, okay, and then you have wind generators that will actually sometimes put the electricity back to the electricity company. You don't even have to pay. So,
yeah.
You know, you have that. You have that that is coming from nature itself.
Yep, and they say there ain't no such thing as free energy. Really?
Creator gave it to you.
Yeah, tell that to the guy who got his house blown over by a 300-mile-an-hour wind. That's a lot of power.
Well, you know, you have the electric companies, okay, that say they love you, they love you to death, and they want to help you, they want to keep you going. But if you can't pay the light bill, you freeze to death. And if you have no understanding of how, you see what I'm saying?
Yep. Well, and that's why we're trying to bring this information to the table for the average Joe. See, I want to tell people something out there. Oshaziz got a method to his madness. You know, if I wanted to, I could literally go off the power grid myself right now. You know, I wouldn't have to pay the power company. But the whole key to the purpose of what I've been doing is this. If I want to share this information with the average Joe, and, you know, I could show them the best generators to go out there and buy, and the most efficient ones, and so on down the line, and how to literally buy certain products that would save them energy prices. But the average Joe doesn't have the funding to literally go off the power grid. And that's a fact, and it's a shame. So what I have to find myself trying to do is find those things out there that's already in circulation that are super efficient or could be repurposed for other things that the average Joe could actually get a hold of if they had to, in worst case scenario, such as, you know, the Fisher and Paykel washing machine motors. Those are generators right out of the gate. You can hook a wind blade up to that, and you've got a generator without any modifications that is capable, at the very least, of charging batteries and producing light. And with a little bit more modifications to it, whatever, you could actually do a whole lot more with these particular style deals. And there's a lot of different, you know, permanent magnet motors and treadmills and stuff like that. So essentially, if you had to, you could scavenge through the scrap yards and you could find parts that would generate electricity that would at the very least give you lighting and a fan, and you'll be able to charge up a battery bank to run some inverters and stuff like that. So it's not that I couldn't have already been off the power grid. It's just that if I'm going to go off the power grid and I'm going to show everybody else how to do it, I need to make sure that it's something that they can do as well. You know, at the very least, go out there and scavenge up some parts and put together some circuitry. Like, you know, for example, that little Slayer exciter circuit. It's a really simple circuit, and if everybody knew how to do it, then, you know, they could light up old fluorescent bulbs that won't work in your standard socket. Also talked about on the last show, there's a guy out there on YouTube called the Daft Man, and he puts together a circuit board setup where it's the Bedini school girl diagram, and he prints it out in a manner to where if you've got the parts, all you got to do is lay the parts down on top of them and solder them together and just follow the diagram exactly like he put together, and you got a working circuit without a whole lot of knowledge in how to actually do electronics. So I love the way this man puts stuff together, teaches people that, you know, didn't go to electronics class to be able to do it as well. So that's the whole key. You know, it's and there's no need to be trying to talk in high-tech terminology that whenever you start talking to people, you lose their focus and, you know, their eyes roll back in their head and they don't, like, know what the heck you're talking about. You know, it's really hard for me sometimes to get into a really in-depth conversation about science with somebody or start talking about how, you know, the internal combustion engine, how we could actually run one on pure distilled water if it was properly engineered to do so. Even the supposed highly educated, college graduates, engineers and stuff like that, they don't understand what you're trying to tell them because the school book said something completely opposite of what you're sitting there saying. So even if you explain it to them in such graphic detail as you can walk them step by step through every scientific theory of how things function, they don't get it. And so
I understand that completely because in my life, you know, I've been on stage with people that have had 8 years of college in, let's say, native understanding, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just a kid from the street, but I've been taught that. I've been taught your way. So when I get, it's like even the PhDs don't understand it because they don't live it. I do. So I understand you.
Yeah, they say necessity is the mother of invention, and that's the true proof of that concept. Is go over and look at what they call third world countries. Now, I don't like that concept of the third world country because I think we all should be first world countries as far as I'm concerned. I think we should all be able to reap the benefits of knowledge and the world as a whole. But nonetheless, these folks don't have all the luxuries that we've got, and they find ways in which to repurpose things in order to get their needs met. For example, and a simple example. They took, when they needed some lighting inside their shed, they took some old soda bottles, emptied out the soda bottles, and filled them up with something like bleach water or, you know, mineral oil or whatever they could get a hold of. In some cases, just pure water, but the reason why they put the bleach in there was so that, you know, algae wouldn't grow in the bottle and block it out. But nonetheless, they made the equivalence of a 60 to an 80 watt light bulb out of a plastic bottle that uses basically refraction. As the sunlight hits the top of the bottle, it goes down just like fiber optics cable and shines the light inside their building, so they don't even have to have electricity to have lighting in there, and they're not exposed to the outside elements in order to have lighting. But that's a brilliant example. Go ahead,
Judah. I've actually seen somebody that actually did that.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, if you've studied up fiber optics, it's amazing what you can do with refraction. You could literally take a piece of PVC tubing, stick it up through your roof, and put all kinds of, you know, 45s and 90 degree angles and circles and everything, and work that pipe all the way down to your basement. And because of the way that the refraction works, you can send sunlight from the outside clear down to the basement of your house. You see what I mean? It's
well, you know, it's easy, but you know the things that I'm trying to state, and I state with this with you, Shaziz, is that if you have the knowledge for something and somebody doesn't and they're in need, why don't we share that knowledge and get this thing going?
Yeah. That's all I've ever asked of any of the listeners out there. I'm not asking anybody for any donations or any special privileges, and I don't even want no celebrity status. All I want you to do is if you find something on Shaziz Radio or any of the podcasts, share on your social media deals. Share the links out there. It's crazy to me that, you know, I actually tried to contact one of these flat earther guys that kind of collect. I guess he kind of thinks he's a celebrity or something like that. I ain't even going to mention his name. But I tried to contact him just because as I'm listening to this debate between whether or not the earth is flat or whether the earth is round, I'm listening to a lot of brilliance. Now, as contradicting as that may sound, these people actually have to try to do a little bit of research and thinking outside the box in order to be able to prove their side is right or wrong, either one. Now, personally, I think the whole argument is all a distraction against what could be actually accomplished. But if you could actually get in front of a crowd that large that is basically wasting their time spinning in the mud and show them, look, if you really want to resolve this issue, we've got the scientific methods, the tools, the technology to literally put that to rest and get on to something that's more important, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, ending wars.
Exactly.
You see what I mean? That's my whole point about China. You know,
I can tell you what we actually done, and this was like 30 years ago, okay? That was a young family that lost their life, and the heat went through the light company, okay? And they had the light that, you know, like the old coal oil lamps going on, but they were cold, okay?
Yeah.
So what we did, we took an old metal, one of them very old metal garbage cans, you know, the big rusty looking garbage can type deal. And we actually fixed it up to have a door where you could put the wood in and everything of that manner, and actually put the, you know, the whole exhaust system going up the roof and out, okay? And actually, while they were working on the light bill, which we helped them with, we were able to get them heat so they stayed warm. So you could take old metal trash cans and make a wood heater out of them. Very simple to do.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, if you really get out there and take a look around, and you look at all these people who are trying to get independent of the power companies and off-grid, they're actually going back to old technologies such as boiler systems. You can take a wood-burning stove, and actually there are companies out there that are already selling that are already set up for it. And essentially what these wood-burning stoves are they're actually a boiler system as well, because inside there have a water jacket that you can circulate water through, and you can heat this water up literally to the point of steam, which in turn you could use that steam through radiator systems and be able to heat your house more efficiently, burning, you know, old dead trees or whatever. You don't even have to chop down new trees, because nature moves trees around here and there all the time anyway. And so, you know, you got a tree that's falling down anyway, chop it up for some firewood and still be, you know, saving the trees. So with that said, there's no excuse where you couldn't burn firewood. But even at that, you could take that simple two-part concept where you're actually burning firewood, boiling water, and you could even magnify it yet even further by using thermoelectrics to charge batteries and stuff. There's so many different options available to you, where you can get that one stove to be so super efficient that you barely have to burn any wood in it. You could use it to generate steam power to run a steam generator, or you could use it to run a Stirling engine, which essentially is a heat exchange type of deal, where, you know, when air heats up, it expands and pushes the piston, and then it gets to a certain point where it opens up the valve and lets cool air in, and then it goes back the opposite direction. All these technologies have been around for so doggone long, and you try to bring them to the forefront and show people the possibilities of what could be done with this type of technology, just wood-burning stove alone. That's the simple of it, and people have actually been going back to making old boiler systems where they have radiators circulating the warm water through the floor, because we know that heat rises, and so you can keep your house hot, you know, warm, so that you don't freeze. And, you know, there's so many different options available just with that alone. You know, warm showers, heck, you'd have your own hot tub if you wanted. Nonetheless, all the different energies that nature has already provided, solar heat, you can warm your pool up with the solar heaters, you can do all kinds of stuff with you know, basically you can put a solar heater on your roof that basically circulates the water from the cold side through and puts hot water into your existing hot water tank, and as long as the sun's out, your hot water tank will never come on. And if it never comes on, then that means it's more efficient because you're not using electricity to heat the water. You're just using what nature's already provided. So if we really seriously wanted to get serious about energy independence, we'd have to help those who couldn't afford to come up with these solutions, show them how to do it. You know, in some cases, we might actually have to get up and go over there and do it for them in order to get them, you know, but the more people that you get energy efficient, the better off society will be, the less there will be carbon emissions. You all know how I feel about that, so I'm saying it sarcastically, because carbon, you know, CO2 does not rise, it falls, it's heavier than oxygen, and if oxygen can't get up there, somebody's got to explain the magic of how CO2 makes it up there when oxygen can't. But that's beating a dead horse again. Can't be doing that, two dogs.
You know, to be honest, this man, the elder that we helped, okay, he was like, you know, I don't have the money to pay you. And I'm like, can you put out your hand? He put out his hand. I shook it. And I said, there you go. It's done. It's because what is needed is for everyone that has this technology. Don't look for like that. Look for somebody being able to beat one through the winter, or be able to. We need to put that we, us, and ours in this thing,
yeah.
And work with each other. In other words, if there's somebody in your community that doesn't know this technology and you have it and you can help them, go help them. Because a smile and a hug, or a smile and a handshake, is much payment, man. Because somebody's not hurting.
Well, we take and we allow our governments of the world to do some crazy things, such as NASA's budget. From what I understand, NASA gets over $50 million a day for their budget. $50 million a day. I want you to sit down and contemplate that for a second. Do you realize how many people could be helped with $50 million a day? That's just one example of many examples of waste that goes on in the governments of the world. Now, I'm not anti-government. Never have been, never will be. I'm anti-corruption, I'm anti-stupidity, I'm anti-ignorance. The whole concept is that if the governments of the world and the people of the world are telling you that we have needs in this world, such as a starving baby, that starving baby should be number one priority on everybody's list out there. Everybody. That means just the average Joe. Maybe you can't physically get up there and go and help this child, but you can pass the word, and you can pass the, you know, whatever resources that you have available to you. There's always some way that you can help. Always. You're never completely helpless. Even if it's just making everyone aware of the need, hey, this baby's over there starving, we gotta get this fixed, and don't stop saying it until it gets fixed. You know, even if while you're saying it, you're walking towards this baby to try to take him some food, you know, maybe somebody else will beat you to it, and that'd be a wonderful thing. But nonetheless, you're putting the effort towards trying to make this, this wrong, right. You know, you're trying to resolve the issues. And we got people that in war-torn countries right now, and things being destroyed like you wouldn't believe, according to what the mainstream media and the governments of the world tell us, that there's all kinds of atrocities being done. And there ain't nobody in this world better to fix it than you, the average Joe, the average Jane. And so when it comes to alternative energy and saving the planet, the best person in this world to fix it is you and I. We the people. You know, that's what I've been trying to say out here. That's what I've been trying to do. And, you know, I put that flogging a dead horse or beating a dead dog thing up there. to try to get some doggone attention to what I'm trying to say, because it's serious what I'm trying to say. You know, I don't want to sit here. Go ahead.
What you're saying about the children, okay? Number one, let me put this my way. I'm a child that I'm one of the children that got lost through the system. Okay, I ate and slept in garbage cans. I went everywhere, you know. So, and yeah, I've been hungry, I've been cold, I've had it all. The thing about it is, I survived it, and I hope others will. But the thing about it is, if that's the truth, and you put $50 million in that, we need to fix the system where the, no children would ever go hungry or be cold again. That's the point. If that's the truth, put it in where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, because seriously, what has NASA done for the world lately? How many times has NASA run over there to fix, somebody's roof or the homeless problem of the world, or, the starvation or anything for that matter? They say, well, a lot of research comes out of NASA. Okay, well, where's it at then? Where's it at? Why ain't these people got access to it? Why does anybody out there have to go without heating and cooling because of their financial status? See, that's what makes me so doggone mad, is that we got the technology and the resources to literally resolve every single issue under the sun. And that's a fact. That's not no, pipe dream. That's the truth. We really could, if we decided to, we could resolve all these issues. But instead, what we get I don't want to sit here for the rest of my entire life telling everybody what could have been done. I want to tell everybody, what I do in my lab, I'm always researching, I'm always testing stuff, I'm always looking up videos, and I'm trying things out, trying to find the best, most efficient ways to utilize what we call electricity, and to even have a better understanding of it. And I invite many, many people to the table that, I was trying to put together the dream team. The dream team to me would be all these brilliant individuals out here, and even the ones that people think aren't educated. You know what? Sometimes the best education is the street. Two Dog, when you was out there and going through your hard times, you found ways to keep warm, didn't you?
Oh yeah, because a lot of times in certain areas there'd be like a heating unit, right? And
yep.
It'd blow up. You'd be standing on it, and it's out. What's going on inside is blowing out. So if you're gonna sleep that night, and it's like 30 degrees outside, and then you have nowhere else to go, occasionally, that's the perfect spot because you have air rising out of that.
See, you learned science and physics the hard way. So that was your education.
Yeah, yeah.
That was your education. You learned science and physics in the real school of life. And that's basically, that puts you in a category where I don't care how super educated somebody is, you know it works. That's proven science to you because you had to use it to survive. You see what I mean?
Well, you take people that have, say they're rich money-wise, and you put them where I've been at the same time, they wouldn't know what to do. They'd have to follow what I can show them. If not, they would approach to them.
Yeah. There's so much that's why I say, the word out there is necessity is the mother of invention. And that means that if you got a need and there's only one person that can fix it, you invent things. You invent methods by which to stay warm or to alternatively be able to grow food and stuff. Stephen Gibbs said, Two Dog, are the reservation governed by the same laws, i.e. off-grid dwellings, etc., as the rest of the states? That's a question for you from Stephen in the chat room.
Well, one of to let you know, we Shaziz just spoke of third world country, okay? Let me explain myself. If you look at the Ogallala Lakota in this country, in America, right now, you'll see a third world country, to be honest. Because, well, truthfully, you know, traditional people, we help each other, you know. Hey, I knew you were coming, even if they just showed up, and everybody fed each other, you know what I'm saying? A lot of it is the government promised, I'm just going to say it like this, the government promised to take care of this nation, and it's kind of a third world country, my friend.
Yeah, and that's sad, man. That is sad. You know, these are our brothers and sisters. And, you know, I don't know. I was born under the astrological sign Libra. I don't know why, but that, hey, either way it is. And if you actually look at that deal, you'll see there's a scales on there, the scales of justice, so to speak. And, you know, when things aren't, yeah, when things aren't fair or balanced out, equal, so to speak, then I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable knowing that, you know, I'm able to be warm and somebody else in this world has to be cold because of their financial status. Now, if they were in my neighborhood and they were cold, I'd bring them into my house. That's just me. I would do it, you know. But how am I going to get the whole entire world of homeless people in my house alone? This is a job that's not just for one single individual. This is a job for all the caretakers of this world. Each and every one of you got to try to figure out some way to try to uplift your brothers and sisters, because it does matter. Honestly. You know?
Yeah, it does.
The technology...
The thing about...
Go ahead.
The technologies that we have in general, okay? It's like you are very intelligent with the technologies, electricity, and other things, okay? And I'm kind of intelligent on trying to bring people together of understanding, right? That, you know, we're all related here.
Well, and that's why this show is so brilliant, too, Dog, because you're using your gift of being able to bring people together, and I'm using my mechanical mind in order to show people the solutions that you and I at least agree, and even the people in the chat room like Stephen Gibbons and, you know, Barbara Three Crow and Patty Walking Turtle and all these folks that join us on this show, these are the folks that believe that together we can resolve issues of the world, but we're bringing together our separate talents that are the pieces of the puzzle that brings that, makes that resolution possible. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly, because, you know, even this little nation, we've had people from Wiltshire and England come and set with us. We've had the Maori from New Zealand, Aotearoa, and they've set with us. We've set with people from Mexico. And what we're finding out, why we sit here, is culturally we're a little bit different, maybe, but as the human being, you know, we all love our children when we come home. We love our husbands, our wives. We sit down, we laugh, we eat with each other. We're not that different around the world. So if you can bring that focus and then start, okay, what do you need? What's going on? How's your children? What's going on with your elders, or your women need anything, what's going on here, there, or whatever, then we can start talking about this thing, because we're all talking English right now, so to speak, and we are understanding each other, so that focus comes in to now we can reach out and help people that are cold or whatever get warm through the winter, or you need food, let's see what we can do about that. Then we get together and do the whole deal.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some folks out there, I think I would probably be good at it if I had the resources to be able to travel around the communities that had issues mechanically or electrical that they needed to try to resolve in order to keep people warm. But there's a lot of people out there who are really good at going into a situation and assessing all the resources available and showing them the best possibilities of ways that they can do things, you know, such as cleaning up water that needs to be cleaned up. You know, there are natural ways like duckweed and watermill. I did a video about this, and the crazy thing about it is it's free. It's obnoxious to people who want to have a beautiful pond, but it's nature's way of actually balancing out a pond that's out of balance. But nonetheless, used properly, you could use this to actually filter water out to its pure state again, and the plant does all the work, you know? And that's something that nature's already put out there. You know, if you see a pond and you see this green plant that's just covered this pond, that's nature's way of taking that pond and putting it back into balance again. And because when the sunlight's blocked out, the whole entire ecosystem in that pond begins to collapse. And so nature wants to put everything back the way it was. Nature has been working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and overtime in order to try to resolve the issues that man has produced by their actions out there. We do affect our environment, you know, and I'm not saying... Yeah. I'm not saying that we're the man-made cause of global warming, because the science is all craziness on there. You're not more powerful than nature. Nature will resolve the issue in nature's own way. But nonetheless, if you're trying to work in perfect harmony with nature, nature will work back with you hand in hand. I have seen it with my own land that I started cleaning up this land. When I moved on to this land was sick. I mean, there was thorns and thistles, and, you know, it just looked terrible. It was all overgrown, and I started tending to the land. I started working with it, and I noticed that now nature was, you know, basically rewarding me every time I did something. Now my place, it's beautiful. It's comfortable. You see what I'm saying? It's doable. What do you think, Tito?
Now, here on my land, of course, we have our community garden here that we actually feed to. But on my land, it's almost self-sufficient, almost completely. There's things from the earth, mother, that grows out here that you can eat on this planet.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much self-sufficient out here. And we live with everything on the earth here anyway. So all this on the earth is our relations anyway. And we take no more than we need. That's how that works.
Let me ask you a question, too, dog.
You know,
on that subject that I mentioned about the duckweed, do you have any ponds that's just overloaded with duckweed that, you know, the ecosystem has collapsed in?
Yeah.
Well, that,
yes,
my
do.
Friend, is free fertilizer. That, my friend, can be...
Yeah, I'm...
Huh?
I know that. I use it.
See? But now that you got that knowledge, and you know about composting, and the fact that you can actually use that for fish food, and duck and chicken food, and in worst case scenarios, they say people can eat it, but you gotta boil it real good because it's got little spiny roots on there to make you uncomfortable if you do, but nonetheless, it's really nutrient rich. And that's just one thing that nature has provided, that, you know, you can turn it into...
My chicken love it.
Yeah. You can turn it into a biofuel. You can do all kinds of stuff with this. If you act respectfully with nature, and you learn of all the different things that nature has to offer, there's no reason why we couldn't have enough fuel to, you know, just by the waste. When nature cleans house and a tree dies off or something like that, you can clean that up, you know, or you can let nature clean it up. Nature will basically put that tree back to where it came from. That's it. Recycle it back into the system. There is no better recycler on this planet than this planet. That's plain and simple.
But, you know, you see people that are talking about wanting power. Okay, they want power in this world. Only thing I'm saying, bro, is go out and take a and watch when a thunderstorm comes. That's power, man.
Oh yeah,
that's true power.
There's and people say there ain't no such thing as free energy. That is probably one of the biggest lies that science and the power elite basically have indoctrinated the people to believe. And that's why I said earlier about beating a dead horse, because you're sitting there trying to convince somebody of something that they're already convinced is already a done deal. It's resolved. There's no way we can fix this world. It's too much of a mess, and so on and so forth. You know, if the outcome is already decided.
I can put it to you real easy on that, okay? True power comes from nature in itself. The Watch Grandfather's, the Creator's power is incredible. Now, to go back to what you're saying, it is about that and the technology of that, is that man's God is turned into a green piece of paper, I'm just saying.
Well, you're right.
In certain aspects.
You're right. And, ironically enough, it's based off of nature, because, doggone it, guess what? The petrol dollar is oil. Oil is something nature's produced. Man didn't produce oil. Nature produced oil. That's it. So, they're basically putting a piece of monopoly money, attaching it to oil that they get up out of the ground, and trying to tell you at the same time, well, there ain't no such thing as free energy, but we're making a lot of money off of it. Am I wrong?
No, it's just the same as what we bought earlier. What has been bought earlier in the Standing Rock Treaty territory, okay, where they put the oil under the water and said it's all going to be safe. Well, many Wachonians, they say, water is life. And to be honest, if you know good and well a pipeline, if it's going to break, which is 210,000 gallons spilled out up there, and tell me that's better than life itself. Oil's better than...
No, it's not.
Try to drink the oil. Can't do it.
It's frustrating because when you're moving it from one place to another, you can cause ecological disaster just by when accidents occur. But nonetheless, right there in your general vicinity, everywhere everyone on this planet stands, is so much energy that it would blow your mind to understand how much power that is underneath your feet, that is going through the sky, the wind, the sun. And if properly utilized, you don't got to pipe oil from one side of the planet to the next. You could use water. Water is the most stable and most destructive and most powerful molecule on this planet. The two together, hydrogen and oxygen, you know, it takes three things to start a fire. You have to have a fuel source, an ignition source, and oxygen in order for something to burn. You know, everything that you need is right there. And that's why we got to drink water. People don't understand that you are energy yourself. Your brain runs off of electricity. Where do you think that electricity comes from? Why do you think your body is three-quarters water? You know, why do you think there's certain minerals and materials in your body? Because they have to be conductive. They have to be able to transfer energy from your brain to your muscles to make your legs and your fingers and your hands and toes move and such. So there's the mechanical aspect.
That's exactly what it's like. Exactly what you and I are doing on this show right now. When we're speaking to each other, okay, then that's energy.
Yeah.
We're using the energy now. Okay. Now, as far as the water, I'm going to go back to, Bruce Lee. Okay, just for a second. Bruce Lee said that water can bend rocks.
Yeah.
Or it could be soft as, or it could be soft as you put it in a teacup. He said, be water, my friend. So, in a lot of ways, I understand that technology there.
Yeah, water. Water under pressure can literally cut through steel. You know what I mean? They got band saws out there that use a high pressure water stream to cut through like wood and stuff like that. And when the cut's done, you don't have all these little shards sticking off the end of it. It's a smooth cut. You know, water's been cutting through stone ever since the beginning of time. You know, water does a lot of stuff. I mean, water is probably the most biggest, best gift that was ever given to the world. You know, it's brilliant. It's not only an amazing power source, it's a life-giving source, which is power in itself, because, you know, how long do they say you can go without water? 3 days, max? You gotta have water?
I think three or four days max is what they say.
Yeah. That's because your body begins to dehydrate, and then it starts to fail. The system's breaking down. Your battery's getting low, you know? And so, basically, what I'm trying to point out to is all this technology that we're talking about, you know, and there's some people out there that think technology is a terrible thing. Some types of technology I might have to agree with them, because I don't want some computer deciding for me what's right and wrong. Or, you know, basically trying to decide that because I'm human, that I don't need to exist anymore. No, I ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, the technology for, you know, being able to have a light on where you ain't stubbing your toe in the middle of the night, or when it's cold outside, that you can use energy to keep you warm and such, you know, and doing it in a clean and healthy manner that works respectfully with nature and such, you know. Stephen said, you must be shapeless, formless like water. When you pour water in a cup, it becomes the cup. When you pour water in a bottle, it becomes the bottle. When you pour water in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Water can drip and it can crash, become like water, my friend, Bruce Lee. There you go. Cool. He was helping you with that quote.
Huh. Yeah, that's Bruce Lee's quote.
But he's right. He's right. And, you know, when you understand the mechanical workings of nature, and you understand that, you know, like, for example, simple example, if I got my window on the south side of my house open, and I got the window on the north side of my house open, and the wind blows outside, that pressure will build up, blow through my deal, it'll flop the curtain, blow all my papers off in the floor, go around the corner and back out the other, through the other room, and maybe blow some stuff over in there, and just head right on out the door. I didn't do nothing. I didn't take nothing away from the system, and I actually got work done. It wasn't the work I wanted to get done, because I didn't feel like picking my papers off the floor, but nonetheless, I could visually see and observe that there was something going on there. There was a force of nature that didn't cost me nothing to put all that paper and stuff in the floor. So, you know, brilliant men said, well, hey, you know, if the wind's going to be blowing anyway, I'll put this little fan blade up there and a generator on there, and I'll get me some electricity out of it while the wind's going by. You didn't hurt nature by doing that. And so all the, you know, drawbacks that we have of people, you know, that want to argue against wind power, you know, first off, don't holler on one side of the fence and say, well, you know, global warming, climate change, or you're going to kill the birds or anything like that, you know, and then turn around and say, we got to save the planet, when somebody tries to save the planet by putting solar panels or wind generator up, you got all these different complaints why it either looks too ugly or, you know, it's dangerous to the birds. Well, back when I was a kid, my grandpa used to have a fan that was around somewhere back in the early to late 1800s, somewhere in the 1800s. It was an old fan, had a brass blade to it, and it had an open up face on the doggone thing, just a little wire that went around the outer deal, but nonetheless, really simple to put your finger in the fan. And grandpa was always warning us kids, boy, don't put your finger in that fan, it'll chop it off. You know, because you got a brass blade spinning around at high RPMs. If you stick your finger in it, it's going to hurt. But nonetheless, because probably some people didn't pay attention to their grandpa and did stick their finger in their fan and lost their finger, well, Then some brilliant person said, well, let's put a screen around it so there's no way that you can stick your finger in the fan. You see what I'm saying? So you put your wind generator up there. If you're worried about birds flying into it, then use some common sense and put some sort of chicken screen up there where they can't fly into it. Simple as that, man. You know what? They can come up with 10,001 reasons why not to do something.
They come, yeah, it's like every action has equal reaction.
Yep.
You know, every action does. And if you give something positive out, you get positive, but you do get some that will go negative on you. So, it's what I've learned in what I'm doing today in my nation, you know, is that we will save some, but some will never. And you just can't, you can't hold back. You got to help those that will.
Yep, and that's about the best we got.
That's that positive thing.
That's about the best we got.
That's the positive.
Do what you can do, you know, and don't listen to the ones out there telling you you can't do that. You know, I get so doggone angry because I'll go around and I'll see a video that somebody had put together of a project. And they'll ask the question, could this possibly be free energy? And somebody else will come in there and they'll start mouthing off and calling them filthy names and all that kind of stuff. And then they'll start quoting the laws of thermodynamics. I completely and utterly reject and despise the laws of thermodynamics. Number one, the reason why is because the laws of thermodynamics are one of the biggest hoxahooey in science that ever existed in the history of time. The laws of thermodynamics, when people start to quote them, number one, they're always misquoting the laws of thermodynamics because they don't understand the premises of what the laws of thermodynamics were set there to convey, such as that perpetual motion is not possible according to the laws of thermodynamics. Because you cannot get a closed-loop system to start itself, run itself, and produce energy or more energy than was ever put in. There's no zero point. There's no over unity. You're not going to get out more than you put in is what the laws of thermodynamics are set there to basically disprove any possibility of perpetual motion. Regardless of the fact that the Earth has been perpetually keeping sun on and keeping wind on and keeping seismic activity going and thermal activity going and the waves keep on moving. Regardless of how many years that this has been going on, the laws of thermodynamics says that you can never get out more than you put in and that things are not perpetual, that they always end up coming to a stop because of all the losses in the system. So, when you try to show somebody a possible solution to what I try to tell everybody isn't zero point, isn't over unity, but it definitely is beyond a shadow of a doubt free energy. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is free energy. I didn't have to pay nothing for the sunlight. I didn't have to pay nothing for the wind. And as long as I got my windmill up there and the wind's blowing, I will forever get free electricity. That's that. But when they start to say on every single thing that they see, every single possible solution or even one of the pieces to the puzzle of said solution, that, oh no, there ain't no such thing as free energy. That's the laws of conservation of energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. You can't get out more than you put in. They don't understand what they're talking about. They didn't pay attention in basic science, so now they're sitting after trying to use some high-tech terminology to make the average Joe think that they're so intelligent, when in reality, all they're doing is being a parrot, mocking, repeating what they just heard from somebody else. And they didn't study it themselves. They didn't understand that, you know, I'm not trying to get perpetual motion. I'm not trying to get over unity or zero point. All I'm trying to do is show the world how to use things so incredibly efficient that everyone, and I repeat, everyone can afford to run electricity. That's it. It's that doggone simple. If an internal combustion engine is only 30% efficient, then it has plenty of room for improvement. If you can make an internal combustion engine 100% efficient by utilizing all the knowledge that you've got from physics and basic science, and you can make this thing run so doggone clean that it isn't expelling any kind of carbon emissions, and for Pete's sake, stop saying that doggone vehicles produce carbon dioxide. They don't. They produce carbon monoxide, which is one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom. So while they're sitting there saying that these engines and stuff are producing CO2 that's getting up in the atmosphere, they're blowing off the whole entire premise of basic science and don't even understand what the heck it is they're talking about. Because if there was enough carbon monoxide to reach from the tailpipe of your car to the upper atmosphere to literally trap in magically UV rays coming from the sun and cause the planet to heat up, then you would already be dead from carbon monoxide poisoning. It's that simple.
Exactly.
But you can't tell people that because they are, the school book don't say, man. And they wonder why I call it mad science. And the same would apply to CO2. If there was enough CO2, if CO2 was what's coming out of the tailpipe, if there was enough CO2 in the atmosphere to reach up to the top, then you would suffocate because CO2 is two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom, which causes it to displace oxygen and cause you to suffocate. That's why they've been telling you for years, be careful around the base of a volcano because CO2 likes to pull up in low-lying areas. Why would it pull up in low-lying areas? Because it's heavier than oxygen. For Pete's sake. It's got a carbon anchor on it. Yeah, you see why I'm frustrated there, too, dog? Can you feel my frustration, brother?
A lot of times. Yeah, I do. Because, you know, I've learned in my time, a lot of times, that what you're learning from a book does not always work with what's normal out here. Okay? Say, what you learn in a book may not be what's going on in your real, you know. Book smarts are great, okay, don't get me wrong, but you take somebody with like a college education may not understand what to do on the street like I had to do. So the book thinking sometimes that don't hold completely the force, if you know what
well,
I'm
like
saying.
Well, like we mentioned earlier, you learned your science the school of hard knocks. You learned science and physics because you knew the heat rises. You knew where to lay down to keep warm at night. You know?
And you
recycled wasted energy. You utilized wasted energy to stay warm so that you could survive. Now that's the kind of person that belongs on the dream team. That's the kind of person that can go into somebody's land and not just be able to speak to them in a way that they can understand, but explain to them, you know, how this physics and science could actually be a benefit, you know? So, you know, when Patty's always telling me, she says, well, I don't understand all of what you say, but, you know, I get the basic concept because, you know, she's not maybe really well-versed in science, but I try to explain to her the same thing I just said to you. You got your life skills that you've learned from nature. Nature is the best teacher on the planet. Nature is the planet. Nature is, you know, if you pay attention, you'll learn all kinds of stuff about physics and mechanics and so on. Just by observation.
Well, you know, Shaziz, it's like this. The technology that you know, okay, and the way I know things, in a tribal way of thinking, everybody had some opportunity to put what they know into everything. So in faith, the whole tribe works with each other, see?
Yeah.
The technology you know and what I know, we can band together and do these things.
Well,
so
brother,
everybody is important.
Sometime, if it's ever possible, I would really love to come down and see where you live and visit with your people and share ideas and solutions, you know. I would really enjoy that. If we could ever make that possible, I would really enjoy that time to spend with you. I think that would be amazing. And if we could get, you know, other people that join in on the shows to have a meetup like we were talking about on the Knights of the Round Table a week or so ago, that would be really amazing. Because I believe what you're saying. Now, we, you know, I love the way that the tribe, they come together, they work together, they, you know, laugh and cry together, they do everything together, they make things happen. They take care of things using what they have to work with. That to me is what we've been trying to get. I wish the world would get a tribe mentality. I wish the world would look at your...
To do these things in your... You can actually do these things in your own neighborhood.
Yeah.
Start speaking to each other and see what is necessary in your neighborhood. So tribe up in your own neighborhood and see who's got... Because people don't talk anymore to each other. You can live right next to each other and never say a word anymore.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And that's where the problem lies.
That's a shame. Everywhere I go in my world, I always try to talk to people about things. I plant these seeds of ideas everywhere I go. I can be like the Johnny Appleseed of free electricity because I'm sitting there... I'm telling everybody and his brother, there's an easier way than what's going on out here, and I explain it to them in a way they can understand. But sometimes you get me on a rant, you know, because of all the things that I've researched in my life, that I blow people's doors off just because, you know, I'm speaking, you know, above what they think is their educational level, which I'm not. I'm really not, because there are subjects that they are so well versed in that if they turned around and started telling me, you know, their course of studies, I would be looking just like they did. You see what I mean?
But you know, Shaziz, I grew up, when I was growing up, let's look at the diversity here, okay? When I was growing up, I was 7 years old, I can remember this, okay? And I remember this little black grandmother that was, you know, little short, heavy set grandma, reminded me of my grandmother, right? And she walked over to get a drink of water, and the cops put a police dog on it. And when I was 7 years old, I jumped in front of that police dog, okay? And I gave the grandma the whole bottle of water that I had in my hand, okay? It's a thing of helping each other, because there is no racial thing, because we're all related anyway. It's the human being, not the color. And then we sat down, we started talking about how we could help her in her house that she needed. And I was 7 years old. My head was always smarter than my age, I guess. I don't know. But it's that common understanding to help each other. And that's technology, too,
yep,
in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like the scales of justice, man. You see something wrong, you try to balance those scales out to bring, you know, fairness, truth, and, you know, do what is right. You know, Stephen in the chat room said, this is why I was asking about the laws on the reservation. It would make a great jumping off point without outside interference for alternative energy projects. And I guess he's basically talking about what he's mentioned to you earlier, asking you the question about, you know, what kind of laws and regulations the government has for, you know.
Well, the way I could say this is to get a hold of maybe the nation in your territory here where you live at, and talk to the tribal office and see what they need and what you can do for them if they allow you, you know. That's that's the only thing I can say.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, see, that's, I'm always hesitant to try to, you know, to go to other communities and try to offer, you know, help to them because, you know, maybe they don't necessarily need your help. Maybe there are ways working out for them or whatever, but nonetheless, if there's a need on there and I got some bit of knowledge that might be able to solve a issue for them, I'd be more than happy to show up and share what I know. You know, this is the whole thing, what I'm doing on Mad Science and my YouTube channel, is I'm sharing ideas with the world. And a lot of people will jump on there really quickly to, you know, basically mock and ridicule and cuss if they was only understanding what it was that I was actually trying to do on that YouTube channel or this radio show, then they would understand that what I'm trying to do is basically open up a dialogue of brilliant minds out there that have all the other pieces of the puzzle necessary to basically resolve all the issues of the world. It's that simple.
What is so immaculate? Now, I don't mean this in a bad way, okay? If you go back to, and look between 1965 and like 1969 when you had all these communes coming on with the hippies, okay?
Yeah.
Even the hippie knew how to work with each other, you know, for a betterment in their commune, man.
Yeah.
Each person had something they could contribute. And that's the thing. We contribute to each other, then all things will get happening. The problem with, now, not uses is, and not people that are as, you know, intelligent technology as you are, but an elder once told me that man's technology is what's going to kill man. It's because, okay, electricity that you come into, they want your business, but if you can't pay, you freeze.
Yeah.
That's what
terrible.
I'm talking about.
That's terrible because nature provides free electricity all day long. Folks, you're carrying around in your body that holds your spirit, your soul, or whatever you believe is inside your body that is you. You're carrying around free energy. You are free energy, literally. Your body uses everything that nature provides to keep you energized. You know, so we're not saying nothing that ain't possible. This is all scientific proven fact. And, you know, like I said, a million and one times, we've said it on the Knights of the Round Table so many doggone times. People, you are being played like a banjo. These folks want to divide you. They want to conquer you. They want to convince you that you have no power and that things are not possible, a.k.a. the laws of thermodynamics, so they'll get actual average Joes out there wanting to sound intelligent, so they'll start quoting the laws of thermodynamics to anyone who tries to say that you can run a car on water or energy's free or whatever. Never mind the facts. Never mind that the Earth is three-quarters covered in water. If you ever separated the entire ocean apart into its separate molecules and lit a match, you want to talk about power? Brother, you're going to get an explosion and an implosion of biblical proportions if you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about the Big Bang? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I would like to say while I'm on here with you today, okay, is that it humbly honors me greatly to be on with you today, and it really humbles me to ride on the Knights of the Round Table with you. We get a lot talked about, and you know, you allow me to speak my voice on a lot of things, and I do thank you, because if you remember one of the times we were on here that even a prayer would got me knocked off.
Yeah.
So I do.
Brother, I feel exactly the same way as you. I'm humbled and honored that you take your time to even spend time with me. But since we're of a like mind and we're both out there trying to make a difference in the world in our own special and unique ways, I'll tell you what, I love these shows because they bring on a life of their own. They bring ideas to the table, and regardless of the fact that somebody don't like you, want to say a prayer, and they start messing with our Skypes and our computers and shutting us down and that kind of stuff, we always come back. Folks, we always come back, and we will keep on coming back as long as we're able.
And if you think about it, a prayer to the Creator is power.
Yep, and they don't like that.
They don't like
the fact that they might have a different bit of control because you put your faith and your power into some other higher power than them. No, they don't like that stuff. They don't want you. They don't care if you're out there arguing whether the earth is flat or round. They love that stuff. Go ahead and argue about it, because while you're over there bickering back and forth trying to figure out the shape of the planet, meanwhile, on the other side of the planet, Snively Whiplash is stealing doggone sheep out of the corral and starving the baby. You know? And that's...
Exactly.
You know, we got to be smarter than the system that is trying to oppress us if we're ever to get out of oppression. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, I'm looking at now as a child, okay? And I'm going to go here. I'm going here, man. Just for a second.
Well,
I'm looking
go there,
at
brother.
Child, and the only thing she can do is cry and clap her hands because a bomb went off while she was playing. Now, this world's getting too freaking crazy.
Yes.
But we do have to come back together, man, as the human being. The brotherhood of man ain't working right now. So I do think that we need to get the brotherhood of man back to understanding that we are all the human being here, and this got to stop.
Yeah. You know, on the Knights of the Round Table, I mentioned about an interview that I saw one time that just literally broke my heart, because there was a couple of little girls sitting down there, a couple little Palestinian girls, and this reporter asked them, said, do you ever want peace with Israel? Well, these two little girls replied, well, no, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy. Right? Well, think about that. They're the future fighters now because of what happened. Now, if you go on the opposite side of the fence and you ask a little Israeli girls about it, they might very well say the same doggone thing. Well, my question to everybody else, while we step outside and look at the big picture before the next bomb drops, who dropped the bomb? Seriously.
Yeah.
Now, they took out somebody's family.
Yes. Now, Shaziz, I can say it like this. That could be said, okay? Me being indigenous and you're not, or you got a part, right?
Yeah, I'm part Cherokee.
That would be the same as going what you said about the Palestinian and the Israeli people, okay? The children of that. I could say, well, what the white man has done, I hate the white man, and I'll always hate the white man. That's not true. Because they didn't do it. They wasn't there. I wasn't there. But I remember, because this is what has been told to me.
Yeah.
Okay? That doesn't mean that we can't sit down as human beings and talk about these things. I don't hate you because you're... I don't hate the individual because they're a white man. They're a human being. And if we could talk, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
There's no room for it.
And think about standing in my shoes. My ancestors came over and stole my ancestors' land. Who am I supposed to hate? You see what I mean?
That's the thing again of action reaction. See?
My thing is like you. I want to sit down with the world and I want to sort these things out. I want to put on the table all the things necessary for survival of humanity and get us back to the brotherhood of man that you were talking about. That's what I want.
Okay.
You know, and I don't think that's too much to ask. And that's why science is so important. You know, mad science is called mad science because mainstream science, the so-called mainstream science, has pretty much dropped the ball on humanity. We got a lot of issues in the world that need to be resolved, and if the mainstream science, the supposed smartest guys on the planet, can't get it done, then I guess it's going to take the mad scientists like me and others out there to show people what is possible, what isn't possible. Because the governments, the utilities, the corporations of the world, they don't want you to know certain things. I don't want you to know that there is a cure for the common cold if I'm trying to sell you cold medicine. You see what I mean? That's counterproductive to my business model.
If you look at the Earth's mother in herself, okay, and take the bark from a tree, or, you know, of course, I'm going to pray to it before I do, and let it know what I'm going to do, but the bark of a tree would help a headache. Black snake root helps headaches. Okay, there's medicine from the mother that they don't want you to know, because there you go.
Barry's always talking about hemp. He's always talking about different types of mushrooms. There's all kinds of cures out there on the land, and the way that the system is set up right now, if you put some sort of natural remedy on the table and you say, well, this will cure this, well, suddenly you got a deal here in America and probably other nations as well with the Food and Drug Administration, who won't hesitate to send their jackbooted thugs over there to throw you in jail for trying to sell something as a cure when they say that it's not scientifically proven, when in fact, and I'm going to say this again with emphasis, in fact, all the drug industries out there try to synthesize nature to make pills to mask symptoms, not cure, but mask symptoms, such as all the different symptoms you get when you get the flu. You can get Theraflu. It will make you feel better. Guaranteed. No ifs, ands, or but. If you get diarrhea, you can go out and take one dose of Imodium AD and your diarrhea will stop. But the problem is, if you take two doses of Imodium AD, you'll be stopped up for a week. Now you got another issue.
Let me show you what I'm talking about. Here on Turtle Island, my people from all the nations here have existed for over 130,000 years. Okay, so if that's true, then there had to be medicine from the mother.
Yeah.
Okay. And indigenous wise, if you go to, say, to the store here, to a drugstore here, and get you a prescription for what the doctor says you need, it's now been proven that that does opposite effects on Indian people, by the way, but it also causes five other more problems. You take one pill for one problem, causes five other more problems that you're going to have to go to bed.
Oh yeah, just yesterday, I was sitting on the couch and watching a drug commercial, and somebody pointed out to me, sitting right next to me, of how long it actually took them to list off the possible side effects of using this one particular drug for one particular ailment. And I was looking at him, and I said, look, man, I would rather deal with the original problem and take my chances that way than try to go that route. Because, hey, if you ever want to get rich too, dog, go to a gambling casino with me and bet on whatever it is that I do not.
Yeah, I see. I understand.
Yeah, so I ain't taking that drug. That's going to kill me, man.
But what I'm saying is, the technology of what you have of how to fix things, you know, make it work, and say, my knowledge of whatever, if we was to band it together, then that could help even more people.
Yep.
The thing about it is, people have to start wanting to help their brothers and sisters here. And the problem is, it's not working. Nobody's talking anymore.
Well, we're going to keep shouting until they do. We're going to keep shouting until they do, too, dog. Stephen Gibbons, he posted Stephen Gibbons found a good PDF on natural products used in industry medicine and cosmetics. Anyone interested in alternative medicine may like a copy. And he posted a link down there. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but That was real important. That had to do with what you were talking about.
Yeah, no problem.
Anyway, go ahead.
No problem at all, my brother. It's the fact that, you know, we have now gotten to the point that it's become a me, mine, and I thing. And it's not a we, us, and ours like my tribe used to, all our tribes used to be. The thing about it is, it's not about me or at all. It's about the taking care of my people. That's the leader. But
you
the
see,
fact of the matter is that we're not doing it in general.
The ironic thing of what you're talking about, too, Dog, is that a lot of people don't understand. When you uplift your brothers and sisters out there, and you benefit them by making their life better, you actually improve your own life at the same time for your efforts.
Oh, it always comes back around.
Yeah. So, you ain't got nothing to lose by helping somebody else. That's the whole key.
If somebody is down, is it going to take anything out of your day to reach your hand down and pick him up? I mean, it don't make sense.
No, it don't. And that's what we're fighting against. Not only on the Mad Science Show, but the doggone Knights of the Round Table, you know? We're trying to get these people, these brilliant individuals of this planet, to the table. You know, look, these folks out there, they say that there's a need. They say that they need people, smart people, to go to college and get educated and get out there and solve problems. You know, doctors and, you know, mechanics and all this kind of stuff. And yet all I see is an industry out there that is making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and people coming out of college that can't even get a doggone job, for Pete's sake.
I know it. That is the sad part. You got 4 to 8 years of college. Now, let me explain this 4 to 8 years of college, okay? I had a nurse that I had to go see, so I filled out my name, my address, and everything. I had to go see this nurse because I was actually having a stroke. I've had like 7 minis, you know, in the past 8 years, but okay. The thing that I'm saying is, this lady had 8 years of college to be in practicing nurse, and she couldn't even pronounce my name. And then she would point at me and say, "You," because she couldn't pronounce two dog, but she could pronounce the name she was going to shoot me up with.
Yeah.
That was long as my arm. That's the point. You have this, a lot of educated people, book wise, as far as college is concerned, that can't even pronounce the name.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, folks. I'm not a doctor. I didn't go to medical school, but what I did do is I paid attention on my journey through life about all kinds of things. And there's been many incidents where somebody, you know, had something going on, and I diagnosed them right before they went to the doctor, and the doctor came around with the same exact diagnosis and said, it wasn't because, you know, I was a doctor, it was because I paid attention and I understand, you know, how the chemistry of the body works and symptoms. There's a book out there that I heard about a long time ago, a doctor, Lorraine Dade. She did this book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. And she breaks this down in this book, the reasons why diseases end up happening, you know, such as, you know, eating too much sugar and getting your body used to a certain amount of sugar, and then suddenly you don't have that amount of sugar anymore, then your body reacts adversely because it thinks it needs that amount that you've been giving it all along. The same thing would apply to somebody who has a salt deficiency.
Exactly.
And all this stuff is natural. You know, when your body's out of whack, your body will tell you it's out of whack. It was designed to let you know that there was a problem. So if you are not getting the vitamins and stuff that you need, or you're like drinking too much coffee, you know, too much coffee. Coffee is a dehydrant, you know, caffeine. And so it can actually cause problems that will aggravate conditions like arthritis and stuff like that, because it dehydrates your body, and your body needs these lubricants in your joints in order to be able to function properly. That's basically me explaining to you how the oil system in your engine works, you know, to keep things working right. So I understand things mechanically, And so when somebody tells me they have an issue, I think about it like that, and I explain to them these are the possible things from everything that I've researched through my life. And 9 times out of 10, when I tell them something right before they go to the doctor, they come back and they tell me that's what the doctor diagnosed them with. So maybe I should have been a doctor too, dog. You think they'll give me a diploma? Hey, I don't
But the thing
so.
About it is, man, you have technologies, man, you have understanding that you help a lot of people. Now, let me explain one thing. Even through my stroke, my right hand didn't work. It closed up, okay? And to sit here and tell you and show you about the animal world, okay? I had a wolf that I had in here, and he was a very good friend of mine. And I know he's walked on now, but here's my point. Even that animal walked up to me and helped work my hand, would try to open it. So even the animals, they talk to you. You just got to understand where they're coming from.
Oh, yeah. They got such amazing senses. They can tell you when something's wrong.
He worked with that hand till I could start using it again. So there you go. Even the animal world will work with you.
Yeah, that's. I didn't mean to step on you there, but that was brilliant. That's what animals. They have such keen senses. They can literally smell a problem. They can sense when you're not happy or things like that. You know, and they're always there to try to. You know, like a dog. If a dog notices that you're bummed out, what's the first thing he does? He comes over and tries to snuggle up with you to comfort you. They don't call man's best friend for nothing. Nature put those animals there to help you out, to teach you a few things. For Pete's sake, I wrote a book about a turtle that, you know, helped me through a hard time. You know? Pay attention
exactly.
to nature. So Stephen
That's
Gibbons,
the thing that he's got away from.
Stephen Gibbons put a message in there. Said two dog Nato Kanaz is a I can't even pronounce it. Nato Kanaz or Kanaz is a potent fibrinolytic. Boy, this is some big high tech terminology. Anti clotting enzyme, complex extracted and highly purified from traditional Japanese food called natto. Natto is a fermented cheese-like food that it has been used in Japanese culture for more than 1,000 years for its popular taste and as folk remedy for heart and vascular disease. Research has shown that natto kanase supports the body in breaking up and dissolving the unhealthy coagulation of blood. In fact, it has been shown to have 4 times greater fibrinolytic activity than plasmin. So I guess he's basically showing you that there's actually a cure that the Japanese have been using to help you with your condition to keep your blood from clotting. See? That's we're talking about, people.
Exactly.
You know, all these cultures out there, like Two Dog said, as long as his culture's been around, they're not around after all this time for nothing. You know, they learned how to live off the land. They learned things that were beneficial and things that were not beneficial. They knew what to eat and what not to eat by sometimes the smell or the taste of something, whether it's good for you or bad for you, because your body is a brilliant piece of machinery that will tell you when something's wrong. If it smells bad, chances are you really don't want to eat it. You know, I don't know, there's probably a few circumstances out there that things might be good for you, but they stink or taste terrible. But you know what I'm saying, like the difference between certain types of berries that...
Mm-hmm.
Just pay attention to your body.
I can say it like this too, Shaziz, if you don't mind. It's a thing that, you know, people need to start helping people again. That's the point. And the technologies that you have and the understanding that I have, if we all come together, and what they're saying on the on your chat as well, that is, that just helps somebody right there for the Japanese cure, okay?
Yep.
The thing about it is, we got to start talking. That's it.
That's it. And, you know, this, the whole concept of what we're doing is bringing information to the table. That's really important. You know, if you pay attention to nature, and here's another thing, the power of prayer, you know, people want to discount that because of what society has told them. But I'll tell you one thing, just the energy expelled around a group of people who are praying together is unmatchable, unbeatable in the medical or the scientific field, and even unexplainable to some extent of how it is that these people gathered together and was able to produce enough energy to start somebody on their process of healing. Or at the very least, to uplift their spirit toward to the point where now their body can do the work for itself. You see what I mean? That's why they say laughter's good medicine.
But it is. Now, let me explain myself, Shaziz, as far as healing the human being, okay? Just what we're doing right this minute, talking to each other, is a healing to each other.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it is, we need to heal everybody that will listen. Because we, men, women, all, you know, we need a lot of healing here. There's been a lot of things happening, and technology-wise and every other-wise, it can be done if we talk.
I agree. And, folks, look, there's a lot of information on the table. There's so much information out here. See, the internet could be, it could be the worst thing or the best thing that ever happened to mankind. We got an opportunity right now to speak across the international boundaries. I don't have to get a passport to talk to somebody from another country. I just jump on Skype or, you know, YouTube or whatever, and I can talk across the international boundaries, and I can share good information with them. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to pull those brilliant minds clear across the ocean to join together with our minds and share information and put this information out for everybody else out there to be able to hear this information and be able to decide for themselves what's best in their community. You know, gathering together in groups, building a tribe in your nation, just like Two Dog building in his. And he didn't just stop in his own neighborhood. He reached out to other nations as well. That's why he's got all these flags out here. It's a wonderful thing because he's reaching out to all these different nations who want to come and visit with him and hear what he has to say. You know, that to me is what, you know, real honor is all about. You put yourself out there to the world and try to help the world the way that you do, Two Dog. You could catch a lot of grief from a lot of different people, but you still stand proud and do what you do. And that's why I'm, like I said, it's always an honor and it's always a pleasure having you on the show. You know, I know you speak from your heart.
One thing I can say, my brother, is the love of my Creator, and I keep him one-on-one relationship with him. That's main important. I want to thank the 60 people, whoever they are around the world, that have sent me these 60 flags and more coming. And only thing it is a peace movement, and to understand that we're all the human being. Now, let me explain this. One of the things that I'm honored to be sitting here and doing is speaking with you as of Christian spirituality and me of a traditional spirituality, and understanding we're not that different in neither one.
That's
the
right.
The fact of the matter is, it's the thing of, there's been many prophets in this world and many messengers, and the point of it is, did you get the message?
That's the thing. Where the message came from, isn't probably as important as where you take that message. If it's a positive message that's trying to be brought to you by anybody out there that's trying to benefit not them for personal gain but the world as a whole, man, we can sit down. We don't have to agree on everything under the sun, but we can sit down. We can find solutions because the solutions are available. They always have been. Just like what Stephen Gibbons posted in the chat room there to help Two Dog on his medical condition. I just posted it in Skype. I used our technology to transfer that information from Stephen, who posted it in the chat room for everybody. And now, Two Dog, if you look down in the Skype chat, there's a link there for you to the information that Stephen wanted to share with you. Isn't that brilliant how that works?
Hey. Thank you, Stephen Ski, very much. Thank you very much. I got that.
Looks like Patty showed up in the chat room down in there. Hi, Patty. How's it going? Yeah, so
folks, hello, Patty.
Mad science is a whole lot more than meets the eye. You know, the Knights of the Round Table, Mad Science, both of them have their purpose. So, you know, on Saturdays we focus mostly on the craziness that science is out there, you know, things that, like I said here, and Stephen posted in there as well earlier, but induction lighting, that was around in the 1800s. Do you realize how long ago that was? Induction lighting, essentially it had a light bulb that as long as that bulb never lost its vacuum, and you never cracked that bulb would still be working to this very day. So that means that once you made a bunch of these, you wouldn't have to keep making tons and tons and tons of them, wasting resource. So if you took this same bulb, like I was mentioning earlier, and used some chemistry, some two-part epoxy resin, they got some clear acrylics these days that you could literally use for a ball bat. You could drive over them with a truck, and this thing would not break. And you encase that bulb in that, you would never ever see that bulb go bad. You could drop it, you could use it for a ball bat, and still turn around and light it up if you understand how that bulb actually functions using the frequency that the induction coils on that thing makes. So the answers to not only making things last, but to be able to use them more efficiently. Steven also posted one down there from one of my favorite YouTubers out there, Photo Induction. I don't know where he gets some of his gizmos, but man, I'd love to hang out with that guy when it comes to salvaging stuff. But he showed some things on there about, you know, how he could energize it with a flyback coil, that he could energize it, get the thing started, and then he could warm up the gas in there and get yet even more light out of it. Once that gas was up to operating temperature, it would get more light. And so, if you just have a basic understanding of how all this stuff functions, the lighting issue of the world as between LEDs and phosphorescence and you know, basically the doggone lights you see in most buildings these days, it's solved. Energy, super energy efficient lighting systems. And even if you wanted to go back to a natural aspect of it, using things like doggone fiber optics, what we mentioned about the people who put the bottles through the roof and they piped sunlight in during the daytime, they didn't even have to use electricity. They had the equivalents of a 60 to 100 watt light bulb. And all this science is real science. It's proven science. It's on the table. It's been in existence for so incredibly long that it blows my mind that mainstream science and the governments of the world and even the supposed educated of the world always try to convince us of what's not possible when in fact it's been around this whole time. It just drives me insane.
If you think about it, what you just said about that light bulb, okay, and you think about what, you know, modern day, okay, let's go with modern day for a second, and these companies that are making these light bulbs that go out after a certain length of time and everything like that,
yeah,
they don't want this stuff to last forever, because if you buy one, and it's not, and you know, it goes out, you have to get another one. So
yep.
There goes the, how do I say it, the dollar million.
Yeah, it's called planned obsolescence. They have to make things that will fail, otherwise they can't make no money. Which, if you're worried about the environment, who cares about making money? If you make something once and you don't have to make it again for another 100 years, wouldn't that be easier on the natural resources than trying to sell somebody a billion of them? I mean, think about it, Two Dog. How many light bulbs have you had to buy in your entire lifetime?
Oh, God, I couldn't have not how much money then.
Yeah. But if you bought a light bulb, I got a light bulb, that an original Edison light bulb that I keep in a protected case because it's because of its age, I want to make sure that it lasts around so that I can show people years down the line this light bulb. But nonetheless, this light bulb to this very day still works. It's incredible.
Awesome.
And I love this light bulb because back when they made these light bulbs, they made them last. And, of course, if you had a bunch of these light bulbs right now and you matched them up to the modern-day store light bulbs, they'd make the tungsten elements a little weaker so that eventually, you know, it'll burn through and it'll fail. But when you got a light bulb that's over 100 years old and the doggone thing's still working, that says a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it says a whole lot, because here's the thing. If you can make something work forever, you don't need to go back and pay for it again.
That's right.
And it's amazing just what he actually did with that light bulb. It's incredible.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, if he had the capability of doing it back then, we could be doing it right now. That's why I get so doggone frustrated, because they're always saying, we're going to run out of this, we're going to run out of this, we're going to run out of that. Look, folks, I want you to hear me, and I want you to even quote me on it, in case what I say never comes to pass and it comes wrong, that you can hold me accountable. I'm going to tell you right here now, you will never, ever, ever, ever in your lifetime or any other of your children's 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 to infinity and beyond lifetime ever see this planet run out of crude oil. It is not physically possible according to real science. Everything on this planet is a carbon-based life form. Everything that this planet has been doing since the dawn of mankind, before man ever even stepped foot on this planet, it has been doing, it's still doing to this very day. The only way you're ever going to run out of crude oil is when the planet stops doing what it does. In which case, you ain't going to need crude oil anyway, because you won't survive. When plants deteriorate, they go back into the system. The same chemistry that was going on back then is going on now, real time. And that's why every time they drain out an oil well somewhere and then they close it down because it went dry, and then years later somebody just happens to check it's full again. Why is that? Because nature's still doing what it has been doing all along. It's as simple as that. Every single molecule that ever existed on this planet is still on this planet. It's in some different form or shape or whatever, but even when you burn firewood, you get more products out of burning firewood. You get wood ash that can be used for multiple uses, one of which is to get your car out of snow. Throw some wood ash under your tire and you get traction. It's amazing. Or you can use it to throw it in your garden for fertilizer. And the wood,
exactly.
When you're burning the firewood, you get this stuff that builds up in your doggone chimney called creosote. And they're like, well, you know, that's dangerous because that can start a fire. Hold on, what'd you just say? Say that one more time. Creosote can start a fire. Well, I guess you just made some more fuel, didn't you? Now,
go get it.
That's right. I'm ridiculous for saying that, but they just said it was going to start a fire. Am I wrong? You burnt firewood and made fuel.
No, you're not wrong. If you need it, there it is.
Yeah. So, recycle the creosote and burn it. Use it for fuel. Gasify it. It's amazing. Nature, they say energy can neither be created nor destroyed. That was mainstream science's own laws of physics. All right? Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? It gets changed. It gets recycled back into the system. And what I've been trying to show people with, like I did a video called Rotary Spark Gap, because if you've ever touched any wire on a doggone 12-volt battery, and as you're pulling that on or even getting it close to that wire, you'll see a little arc jump across there. There is so much power potential in a battery that it would blow your mind to understand how much energy is actually in your average lead acid car battery. And that is why whenever they make point systems for the old style engines, as the points are opening and closing, the back EMF coming off that coil is so powerful that it will literally fry them points up if you don't have a condenser in there. And the only thing a condenser is there for is to guide that power away from those points so that it isn't as destructive and your points will last longer. If you take just a wire and like a alligator clip and you sit there and tap on, you got a coil connected to a 12-volt car battery, you put that thing down on there, hold both of those wires and release it and see what kind of jolt you get. The back EMF will lay you out. But even more important than that, pay attention to the terminal of that battery. When you're connected and then disconnecting it, it's eating into that battery. It's got so much power that it's literally blowing molecules off every time you do this. All right? And so how do we use that in order to be able to use energy more efficiently? With that rotary spark gap, when it connects, it energizes the coil, and when it releases, I catch that back EMF, and I catch a massive surge of power. So, as opposed to directly connecting that to that battery and just draining the battery dry, I'm using what nature is doing inside that battery, because once you put that under a load and all those electrons start to make the flow through the deal, it pressurizes that battery. And when you release that doggone pressure off of there, nature balances it back out so rapidly that you get a massive surge of power coming off of that battery. And that's why if you look at anything like the alternator in your car, there are systems set up in the alternator that will reduce the amount of energy that that alternator is capable of doing. There's a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator. I don't remember who wrote it, but there's a book called Secrets of the Alternator, and it will show you how to get 120 volts AC out of a AC Delco alternator. You take the bridge rectifier out of it, you take the diodes out of it, and you can get 120 volts AC off of your average alternator. And that doesn't even scratch the surface. Every generator out there, permanent magnet motor generator, is capable of producing the massive high voltages. All you have to do is speed those RPMs up past its rated speed, and you'll note that it will put out a lot of voltage. That Fisher & Paykel washing machine motor that I talked about, we was able to get over 450 volts AC out of that just by spinning it with a motor that was running off 120 volts AC. Now, the whole key about it is, you're not getting out more energy than you're putting in. It's capable of so much more than you're putting in. Just the mere amount, it's how you're using the energy. It's the efficiency of the way that you utilize the energy.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair! What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Doc, look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Thank you.
crap! Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Mad Science. Boy, I tell you what, this show doesn't stop even whenever we're on break. My buddy Two Dog over here just said something so incredibly brilliant that I just got to have him repeat it. Two Dog, this is your show right now, brother.
Well, let me explain something to you, Shaziz. It was told to me a long time ago that if you look at everything an Indian does, it's in a circle. Even the birds make a nest in a circle, right?
Yeah.
And if you think about all this, all right, even in a car, you have a square motor, okay? You have a square motor in your car now. But that square motor cannot run without that round piston. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm telling you, that is incredibly brilliant. That has so many implications in so many different directions. You know, we can't work without all the other people out there. We can't work without all the other pieces of the puzzle, all the brilliance that is out there in each and every one of these people. You know, that's what's so incredible about our Creator. See, our Creator didn't make one, super genius, super athlete, perfect individual that could do and say and sing and cook and build everything it is. No, it takes a whole lot more than one person to build a house to perfection. It takes a lot of people to do a lot of things. You got to have those pieces of the puzzle in order to be able to do it. Just like you said, man, that square engine will not run without that round piston. It defies the laws of physics in itself. You ain't going to get a square piston to go nowhere.
No.
One solid block. So what do you think?
Well, the thing about it is we've had so much technology. I mean, just think. First man that may be cold and then he saw a storm, and when that storm lightning hit that tree, he caught fire. Might have scared him a little bit, but oh, he found out that was warm. So the fire got started. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just revolved since then.
Yeah, and then even that, the knowledge of what he learned from that fire brought about a whole bunch of other wisdom that he shared with other people, like, for example, fire comes with responsibility. You can't just haphazardly go around starting campfires to keep warm, because next thing you know, you got the doggone entire forest on fire, and that's not good for anybody in the process. But the same thing with technologies out there. We know what to do with them and what not to do with them. We've had so many hundreds of years, if not longer, of things that we studied from it. And so all this knowledge has been out there available to us that we could have used it to uplift our brothers and sisters around the world. And as far as I'm concerned, a lot of it's been squandered. All this information has been squandered because we could have, if we decided to, we could have made things so much better for everybody. And yet we allowed the few greedy individuals of the world to, develop their own money system where you gotta buy their money, and when it wasn't no longer backed by gold, they called it the petrodollar. Nonetheless, went from a shiny metal to a doggone cruddy looking black oil that comes up out of the ground naturally, so you're basically backing your money on something that nature had already provided to you for free. Crude oil was wonderful when it came around because back in the day, they used to basically go hunt whales for their blubber and use that for oil and stuff like that. And, you know, instead of, you know, doing that, they dug this crud up out of the ground, and they found out that it was easier to get this and use this for the same process, and that saved a lot of whales. You know? So there was a learning curve in there, so to speak. If you understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, to be honest, this ain't no Cheech and Chong thing, you know, where you save the whales, you kill the seals, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the system of the focus for us as Indian people is that we have a thing called the circle of life, okay? And this goes with the oil, because oil is the blood of the mother, as far as Mother Earth is concerned. But anybody in their right mind knows that if we lose it, you know, the water goes bad, you can't drink it. Part of the circle of life is broken. And when the circle of life gets broken, you can die as well. So that ends up with the oil as well.
Yeah. Well, now I think it's time for people to outgrow oil, you know? We don't need it, really. I mean, we could literally utilize all the science, the real science, and the technologies available to only use the byproducts of things that nature has already been done with. You know, use firewood. You know, that when the tree falls over naturally, there you go. There's some firewood. But you don't even have to go that far. We know enough about electricity. Huh? Go ahead.
Is it there one nation, from my understanding, I don't know if it's Norway or what, but there's one nation that I understand that keeps the heat going by burning their own garbage.
Well, see, there you go. And then even in the chemistry portion of it, there are companies out there right now that figured out when they put all this garbage in the dump, it produces methane. And they figured out how to compost the trash to run their machinery to recycle the trash into usable products again. That's the whole point. Nature has showed you how to recycle. Nature showed you the perfect ways to recycle. You didn't have to violate nature to get what you wanted. We could have all the luxuries of life and have a perfectly clean air to breathe, perfectly fresh water to drink. And when I mentioned earlier about water is the most stable molecule on the planet. I mean, it is the most incredible molecule, the most life-giving molecule on the planet. Water has so much power potential, it is mind-blowing. And if utilized properly, you can't destroy it. Nothing you do to water will ever destroy it. You can separate it, you can implode it, explode it, and what you get out the other end is water. You get exhaust that is water. And you can't get rid of it. And so how is it that people on this planet continuously end up dying of thirst or complain about droughts? If you live next to the ocean and you're dying of thirst, it's only because you didn't pay attention in science class. It's that simple. When you drink the water, it goes through your body. It does the whole natural thing. It gets absorbed down and filtered through the system and back into the system. And the water's back there again. When it evaporates up into the air, it comes down in the form of precipitation, otherwise known as rain. So nature has produced the most amazing self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. Self-healing, it's mind-blowing. A thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. You got heat going through there. Have you ever wondered why lightning is so doggone powerful? I mean, think about how thermoelectrics works. There's iron, there's quartz, there's all kinds of different minerals and materials under the earth, and where the molten lava is heating this stuff up, you get an electric reaction which charges up the earth's surface, and as the ice crystals and stuff are going through the clouds and bashing into each other and rubbing against the ground, they're building up a static charge, and then eventually one side gets more charged than the other, and you end up with a path to ground when the air between the earth and the ground becomes ionized and electrically conductive, and suddenly, kapow, you got a lightning bolt. Millions of volts of lightning. Like a guy on Back to the Future says, 1.21 gigawatts. Come on, even the TV told you lightning was powerful. Yeah? So, that's what we're talking about. And if you can't find free energy, it's simply because you're not looking hard enough, or you didn't pay attention in science class. That's why I call it mad science.
Nature is power in itself.
Yep. So,
Nature is power. Nature is power.
In the chat room...
It is power within itself.
Patty Walking Turtle said, the system is geared to manufactured obsolescence. Ah, somebody just scrolled up on me. somebody typed another one. I don't have to hold it there. See, she said, the system is geared to manufactured obsolescence. Anything that does not promote the design will be hidden, destroyed, brought up, and stuck in the back hole of corporate R&D. If we are to circumvent this system, then we need to have all those who have excuse me, the knowledge of these products and renewable ideas to start sharing and producing them worldwide. The people must bring these technologies to the world, because the corporate structure will never do it. And she is right. She's 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt more than right, because that's exactly what they're doing. It's their bottom line. Stephen said, for a country blessed with bountiful oil supplies, it may appear incongruous. Is that the word? But Norway is importing as much rubbish as it can get its hands on in effort to generate more energy, burning waste in vast incinerators. See, they're taking everybody's trash. I kept telling a long time ago. My grandpa used to say all the time, one man's trash is another man's treasure. There were people over in the UK that were making petrol out of old plastic bottles. And there's a whole island of plastic bottles supposedly floating out in the ocean. That's free energy, man. Patty also said, great power in the hands of strong minds can, for a time, do great things. But man is fallible, and weak minds outnumber the strong sooner or later. If given the tools to do so, man will revert to the selfishness and unchecked power that is why technology must never be constrained or contained by a group or system, in her opinion. I can't disagree with that. All right, look, this knowledge needs to be in everyone's hands. It's kind of like what I've been saying, Two Dog. You can't sell a widget if everyone has a widget. You know, like a doorstop. You've got this little wedge that you can put under your door to hold the door open. If everyone owns one,
you can't... They're taking everybody's trash. I kept telling a long time ago.
What in the heck happened there?
My grandpa used to say all the time, one man's trash is another man's treasure. There
my doggone radio started itself on one of the pages I was on. I heard myself saying my grandpa's trash is another man's treasure. But it's right, ain't it? You still there, Two Dog?
Well, you know, a lot of times some people throw away things. Yeah, I'm still here. Can you
hear me? Yeah, I got you. I just talked before you did.
A lot of times, you know, it's like a lot of times people will put out, you know, on the street, you know, for trash, like a fan or something. Like in the heat, the fan don't work. I could go by, pick up the fan, figure out what's wrong with it, make it work again. So, you know, everybody's trash is somebody's treasure.
Yep. That's it. And that's the whole thing. We got enough resources out here just in trash alone to recycle, re-engineer. We don't have to keep digging up the planet in order to get materials that are already in existence. And that's the thing about light bulbs. You know, when we talk about that induction lighting and how it functions, you got a light bulb that will last for hundreds, if not thousands of years, if as long as it don't, the seal's never broken on it. It still has the same materials in there, still functions the same way. As long as you never crack that seal on there, this thing will last forever. And so that means you don't need to make as many light bulbs. You see what I mean?
That's what we were talking about earlier, you know, that these companies want you to keep coming back and getting more. They don't want it to last forever. That way they keep making the greenback.
Yep. That's, you know, a lot of people complain about the system. They complain about the governments or secret societies in the world that are doing what they're doing. And I have to keep going back to the doggone words of that grasshopper in that story of Bug's Life. He said those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And when they figure that out, that there goes our way of life. And so he said, they're going back. And that's the whole concept of the power structure that's out there. They know. And that's why they fear this internet. That's why they fear people talking to each other and gathering together, because they know that once we realize that the average Joe outnumbers the corporate elite and the governments of the world in such astronomical numbers, that if they ever decide to work together, they would become obsolete. They don't want to become obsolete. That's obvious. That's why they do what they do, and that's why companies hide technology and suppress it. We're in the year 2017, getting ready to roll over to the year 2018. We should be so much further advanced than what we are right now, but the hindrance has been the greed of people. They don't want to show you the iPhone 6 until they sell you all the iPhone 5. That simple. And so, you know, that's the business model.
It's
simple. That's the business model. And the business model don't care whose neck it steps on to get what it is they want. The Environmental Protection Agency, which is ridiculous, said that after they broke the mine and flushed all the crud down the river, told the people, oh, don't worry about it, just wait for the crud to float by and you can start drinking the water again. What the heck? Had me or you did that, we'd be so far up under the jail, we'd be speaking Chinese, dude, dog. You know it?
Oh, see, that's the point. You know, you got people, let me explain myself. And thank you, Patty, for bringing that to my attention a while back, all right? You got people that are saying that if you put solar power to your house, you will use up the sun and it won't be able to heat no more. Now, what brilliant mind came up with that?
Oh, my. That's a good one. I love that one. I'm going to have to use that one. Do you mind if I borrow that?
Well, that's... Any time. That's just ridiculous.
Oh, as far as science, that was a... I would love to have been standing there when the first person who come up with that idea said it. Oh, we're going to use up all the sun. We ain't going to have no more. Oh, my... My.
Well, I first thought, my very first thought was you need to get off the LSD, man.
Yeah, off the crack pipe or something. All right, look. The creator of this planet made this planet in such a fashion, in the magnificence of all the wisdom that ever existed, because he knew that we would have people on this planet that would say, if you use a solar panel, and everybody uses a solar panel, you'll drain the sun dry and we'll all die from freezing. That's, man, I'm glad we had somebody that had wisdom enough to make this planet the way that they did in order for us to be able to live here, because some of the things that we hear coming out of the mouths of people that are supposedly educated, you know, carbon emissions. I hate to keep beating a dead horse, flogging a dead horse, or beating a dead dog, but come on, folks. Basic science. It's CO2 is what they said it is. CO2 is two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom, which means those two oxygen atoms and that one carbon atom are heavier than oxygen because it has a carbon boat anchor on it. And so if you're going on a mountain climb, 10,000 feet is the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen. The air begins to get real thin up there. 14,000 feet, the oxygen mask and deal come down. You have to pressurize the cabin at 30,000 feet. You got to not only put oxygen in the cabin, but you also got to be able to clean out the CO2 that's coming out of people's mouth as they're breathing out the oxygen in order so that people don't suffocate. So you have to take a atmosphere with you, so to speak. So how is it that something that is heavier than oxygen can magically make it up there where oxygen cannot? That's basic science. So the ridiculousness, it just never stops. But yet they are charging people, and people are making millions of dollars off of carbon. Something that every single living creature on this planet is based on. We're all carbon, we're all water, we're all this chemistry that nature is us. We're part of this system. We are literally energy. And that's science. When you die,
exactly. You
go right back to the earth. The earth recycles you. That's it. So, since the dawn of creation, that's the way the systems function. So unless something changes, you're not going to run out of crude oil. You're not going to run out of water. It's just not possible. So for those folks that say, look, we're having a drought over here and we're dying of thirst. All right, well, have some of your neighbors in the state next over to you, since you can't put a desalination plant on your seashore because it's bad for tourism if they see this desalination plant. It looks ugly. So call your neighbors up. Have them from the state over ship you some fresh water to get you through until it rains again. Or just do what NASA does and fire up a hydrogen rocket and create your own wet rain clouds. Alright. I hate to be condescending and rude and whatever, but I don't call it mad science for nothing. I'm sitting here watching as the world is repeating the ridiculousness over and over to the extent that the average Joe is now beginning to believe the lie. Now, if you're one of those folks out there that want to sound really highly educated and start quoting the laws of thermodynamics to disprove why it is that energy is not free, then please don't do it here on Mad Science or the Shaziz Radio, because you first have to have an understanding of what those laws were put there in place for, so that you're not misquoting them and making yourself sound bad. I'm just trying to say this nicely as possible. The global warming freaks of the world, the climate has been changing regularly ever since the dawn of mankind. When the earth does what the earth does, nature has to move this over here to counteract something done over there. It's going to happen. And if the world ever, ever, ever gets to the point where it's overpopulated, nature will do what nature does best. And AKA, here comes a bacteria. Here comes something that's going to thin everything out and balance out the system. The system is good at balancing itself. Am I wrong?
It's been done since the dawn of the dinosaur.
The circle of life. That's right. So you ain't gonna beat nature, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do. You know, Two Dog, I've said this before and I'll say it again, we could literally explode every single bomb that we had on this planet, every single nuclear device, and we could literally wipe man completely off the globe, or the flat plane, whichever you believe in, it doesn't matter. Nonetheless, nature, over time, will clean that mess up, and it will be as if we never existed at all. That's how brilliant the system is.
Because if you look at nature, that's science in itself.
Yeah. Real science is observing and testing what nature does and coming to a conclusion that this is how things function. You know? Nobody's ever seen the electron.
To be honest.
Yeah?
To be honest, what I have seen in my time is people have gotten away from knowing their part of nature in itself, and it's just been a malfunction because people have forgotten their part of nature too.
Well, Stephen Gibbons in the chat room posted another Bruce Lee quote. He said, "Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure the difficult one." That's brilliant.
Exactly. That is exactly. Bruce Lee was a highly intelligent individual.
Yeah, he was my hero back in the day, man. He still is. I like him. Anyway, folks, look. We got all the answers. And I don't want to spend the rest of my life flogging a dead horse, so to speak. I wouldn't really flog a dead horse because that sounds kind of disgusting. And even the dead horse, I think, should be able to live in peace, or at least rest in peace. So it is kind of disgusting, but I had to put that out there today because when I'm sitting here and Two Dogs sitting here and everybody else who comes to the chat room, Steven and Patty and Barbara and Muddy and Raymond and all the people that, you know, are part of this show and come together all the time to share all this wisdom, we're doing this for a reason, because we actually care. We're trying to bring things to the table that may or may not have been missed. We're trying to bring technologies back to the forefront that have been around since the 1800s. We're trying to put on the table the information that would literally uplift our brothers and sisters that are living in the luxuries of what we all have access to at the moment. If you're listening to this show right now, that means you got a laptop or a computer or an iPhone, and you're one of the blessed. But there's other people out there that can't get this information unless somebody goes and gives it to them. You know? And if they could had access to the knowledge that we got right now, you know, it could help them. It could help them to, know how to use nature to clean their water up. You know that little deal about duckweed? You obviously don't want to just go slinging duckweed all over the planet because it's pretty invasive when it has to be. But if it was used in a controlled form, you could actually build retaining ponds to use this to actually filter water. And in the process of filtering the crud out of the water, you could use the same stuff for fuel. You know, to make a biofuel out of it. And then, under more cleaner circumstances, that doesn't have like toxins in it, you could use that particular duckweed to feed chickens and ducks and stuff like that. See, nature will point out when something's going wrong. When the farmer, you know, God bless the farmers because they feed the world. But in the process of feeding the world, while they're growing their plants, they use things like anhydrous ammonia and to put nitrogen in the soil, and they use certain types of fertilizer, and they make that ground really super nutrient rich and really, really fertile. When it rains, that really super nutrient rich water rushes down into waterways and ponds. Well, this begins a process to where now nature's out of balance, and nature has to figure out a way to balance it back out. And so this plant we call duckweed or watermill begins to grow on there. And if left unchecked, then it will literally block out the sunlight, breaking down the entire ecosystem inside the deal. But it's not a total loss, because nature will finally balance it all back out again anyway. But if there are fish in there that eat duckweed, or turtles in there that eat duckweed, then they will eat enough of this to keep the sunlight coming into that pond. And so by observing what nature's doing and why nature's doing it, you can understand that maybe the farmer could change something about the way he fertilizes his ground, or maybe even guide runoff water into a different direction or whatever. You know, there are solutions in order to ensure that maybe his actions over there is not going to kill off my pond. You see what I mean? But even at that, when nature's in the process of cleaning up, nature always gives you benefits in the process of cleaning up. I call lightning nature's tree trimmer. When the ground or the forest gets overgrown and nature needs to open it up so to let certain plants and species be able to thrive, bam, there's a lightning bolt. There's a big fire. Burns off all that stuff, and in the process of burning it off, there's fertilizer. It comes back greener than it was before. Am I wrong? Have you ever seen that?
I mean, if you look at a buzzard out here, just say a buzzard. A buzzard is nature's garbage man.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
So are maggots. Flies. You know? They clean up. It's disgusting. I don't like flies because they land on nasty stuff and then they want to land on your picnic table. You see what I mean?
You know, it's a way of nature has its own way of cleaning up disasters, you know, or anything else.
Yep. So basically, what we're saying is, you know, you can get your best education by observing what nature does. And since we have all the research on the table out here, my friend Simply Steve says all the time, and I keep repeating the quote because it's brilliant. Says nature needs no improvement, only the arrogance of man requires change, which is true. He also said that we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. That's an amazing gift, folks. You take that knowledge that you have access, somebody's already done the hard part.
I can add to a little bit of what he stated, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is, you know, all people, black, white, yellow, red around the world, we were all tribal at one time.
Yep.
Everybody was.
Yep.
Everybody had that tribal understanding. And some have simply forgot. I'm just going to say it that way. Some have simply forgot the tribal understanding. It just is.
Yep. You know something, Two Dog? Even if you went by the theory of evolution, that we all evolved from squiggly things and then, you know, into monkeys or whatever, even if you really wanted to buy that kind of propaganda, doesn't matter, because that means we're still all family, because we still all came from the same exact system. So even those non-believers of a higher power or God or creator or whatever, they can't even deny that we're all part of the same doggone family. And since we're all in the same boat, then maybe we ought to not be poking holes in the boat we're trying to survive on, right?
But the way I look at it, and I'm just going to say it this way, all right? We are related to every from the smallest bug to the biggest fish in the tree, in the sea. We're related to the standing ones as far as the trees are concerned. Everything that Creator made that is life, since the Creator made us as well, we are related to this. Even everybody is, you know, common understanding knows that if you cut the trees down, and you cut all of the trees down, because when we breathe out, the tree breathes in, the tree breathes out, we breathe in. If you cut them down, we suffocate.
Yeah. That's basic science. We all have a symbiotic relationship with nature. It means we give, we take, they give, they take, both. We rely on each other to survive. So you would think that the most brilliant thing to be doing would be to work in perfect harmony with nature. Because, folks, nature doesn't need us. As much as you think that nature needs us, go watch this series 500 years after man. You know, we build up all these massive structures and all that, and they show how nature will literally take all that stuff back. If you're not using it, nature will reclaim it. So nature doesn't need us. I think nature would probably like for us to be around and would like for us to work in harmony with nature. But, you know, we got to do that. You know, we got to want to do that. We got to want to do it for health reasons, for longevity purposes, that we could see our children and our children's children actually finally get to literally live a utopia. It is possible. You know, sooner or later you're going to have to get the greed under check, because that's what causes the wars and the stupidity. Somebody wants power, and, you know, they say, yeah, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's about true. You know, look at the money system, that people will kill for money. You know, they want to have other shiny things, so they will kill for it. But what about a society to where if you needed something, your needs were met? See, the communist society was kind of like that. They thought, well, if everybody was equal and everybody had the same amount, but it never worked because of the guy that was at the top didn't always care about the people at the bottom, and he had, dictatorial powers to where he could get what he wanted. He was living high on the hog, eating caviar, while the people were down there suffering. Now, well, you all are equal. Y'all are miserable together. See? But that ain't what we're talking about.
What?
We don't want people to be miserable together. We want people to be happy together, comfortable together, fed, sheltered. It's not too much to ask in a world of such great abundance.
I'm going to say the words of the late John Trudell, which I followed since 1969, okay?
Yep.
And he actually said these words, that the problem is civilization. Civilization is the great lie. And if you look at how everything is working now, it's totally agreeable, because...
Well, yeah, because civilization isn't so civil.
Civilization is not that civil.
Yeah, it's not civilized. It's nuts. The man with all the money makes all the rules, and the man with all the money might not be the most honest character, because he wants to keep making more money. So, when people tell you that energy is not free, it's because they have bought the lie. The laws of thermodynamics... it's one of the biggest hockahooies in this history of hockahooies, and is quoted by so many people who have been educated by the system to believe that energy is not free. Nobody on this show ever said that we wanted to get out more than we put in anything. We want to, you know, have that symbiotic relations with nature, where we give to nature, and nature gives back to us, and we share everything that nature has to offer with each other. That's all we've been saying. And so for somebody to come out there and say, you know, about over unity, 0 point, or free energy, and start quoting the laws of thermodynamics, is because they have no understanding of basic science, period. The concept of all of us, the tribe mentality that Two Dog mentioned. That's what we need.
Only thing, you know, one Indian elder once told me that to be Indian is just common, normal, everyday thinking. And if you look at the way society is, we're getting away from that.
That's right.
Quite a bit.
It's like, you know, if the folks out there would actually just hear what we have to say and give it a shot, you know, don't believe what we say. Try it. Try it out. You know,
it's hard for people to imagine you know, my life. Okay, Shaziz, real quick, is how I could go from 8, 9 years old, sleeping and eating out of garbage cans and everything else, to being 58 years old and saying what I'm saying on the radio. It's just a way of life, man. You learn to adapt.
Yep. I'm 52 years old, and I've been down some pretty hard roads, and I've seen some things that no man or woman should ever have to see. I know what it's like to be cold. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to not have a roof over your head. I've been down some roads, and so have you, brother. But we're here because we don't want other people to have to go down those roads. If society could actually get their act together and be the caretakers that they were meant to be all along, these things that we talk about, you would never hear the phrase homeless anymore. We've got the technology exactly right now, and the materials to build houses that will stand the test of time. And even nature will agree with this, as long as we're working in harmony with nature. We can build houses that don't encroach on things. We can build structures that, recycle, so on down the line. We can build self-contained units. We can have houses that aren't plugged into the power grid that do everything, I'm literally talking about taking mankind into the next step of even what somebody would call evolution, mental-wise or whatever, as humanity. But it's
we got houses that you can make out of tires.
Yeah.
You know.
Everything out there.
Car tires.
Nature recycles everything. Why can't mankind do the same? And if it comes down to a point of having to be a necessity, I said to my family, why does it always take a tragedy to bring people together? Well, Two Dog, we're down to the very last minute of the show, brother. And I have to say, it's probably been one of my favorite shows, hanging out with you. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love hanging out with everybody else, but something about what our message was today, it just resonates with me. And I hope that people out there who hear this, that it resonates with them as well. I hope they share these words between Two Dog and myself, and talking about science and life and nature and stuff. The information that we put on the table isn't new information. It's been around for a long time. We pointed out the doggone induction lighting was around in the 1800s. It's not new technology, but with that one technology, there's so many potentials. If you're worried about nuclear power, this is an alternative to nuclear power. If you're worried about, carbon emissions, all these different things. These are just one little example of so many other solutions that are available with research that has already been done. The hard part's already done. Now it's just to get the stuff, put it together, and put those pieces of the puzzle and ensure that nobody ever goes hungry again. Nobody ever has to live outside their house unless they choose to want to just live outside their house. There are ways that we could stop all the ridiculousness that has to do with wars over resources. And for those people that believe that this world is overpopulated because they're so greedy, they can't understand, they can't see through their own lie. This world isn't overpopulated, otherwise nature would have balanced it out. There's people starving in this world. It isn't because of our Creator. It isn't because of God that somebody wants to blame for all the trials and tribulations that mankind endures. It is because we chose to allow somebody to be hungry. We chose to go to war with our neighbors. We chose to do all these things that we despise. We chose to allow somebody to be homeless without trying to uplift them. We chose to look at each other differently because of color, race, creed, religion, and ideologies, or whatever. We chose to do all this. And the power structure that we despise so much for oppressing all of mankind is literally using all these differences to get us to oppose one another as opposed to working with each other. This is what we're trying to promote here at ShazizRadio.com. We're not trying to sell you nothing. We're not trying to beg from you money or finances or resources. The best thing that you could do to help us out is to share the message. And if you've got a design or an idea that you need to do or whatever, we'll find whatever resources we can help you with, just like you could find resources to help your brothers and sisters with. To put the dream team together means to get the average Joe out there to begin networking and form a tribe like Two Dog mentioned. Form a tribe in your own neighborhood. Bring all these ideas. Go back and listen to these podcasts and listen to all the ideas. Take the ideas that resonate with you and get rid of the ones that don't. That's all we're asking. Because we care about our children. We care about your children. We care about the future of humanity. We care about this Mother Earth, this land, this wonderful world that has been gifted to us by, I believe, our Creator. And there's so much more that meets the eye. There's so many more capabilities that we could do. There's so much. You have more power than you can possibly imagine as an individual. The power of the spoken word, the power of your actions, the power of your pen, just the simple power of a smile. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, and I'm begging you, please, share that energy that is you with everyone. There will only ever be one of you. You are unique. God didn't make 10,000 of each of you. He made one. And He wanted that one to be special. But if you take that special that is you, and you combine it with Two Dog, Patty Walking Turtle, Stephen Gibbons, Barbara Three Crow, Barry Prince, or any of the other people that you've heard on this show and the Knights of the Round Table, you can do amazing things. That's all we're asking. So, Two Dog, you want the last word before we roll up out of here? It's been a brilliant show, brother.
Ski, for having me on, and I agree with you. If any of this resonates, go share it with others, and I can say it like this real quick, and I'm going to do it for you. Get your money to God, Jesus, whatever they call you around the world, hear me today. We thank you today for this message that Shaziz has put out. We thank you for the unity that has been between me and him and this great show that we have been sharing. And that all of this energy can be restrained and decoded in all these good efforts. And may we all understand that we're not different in many ways, but we are the same, and that we are all related unto you, and we are all your children. And that we are here to help our Earth Mother as well. So with all this, Creator, I say thank you for the breath you have given us. And we thank you for all of nature, because we know we are that too. And for all this, we say we are here for this, understanding that we are here to help each other and let nobody go hungry no more.
Ah, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Can you hear me? Give my creation
going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.